Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
at an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Welcome to Party Friday. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden, Grassroots Show, True Straight Up, brought to you by...
Hey, the show is brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture and Chinese Medicine, along with happytrees.co. Coming up today, let me show just a little bit of a tease. We've got a history test with Al Sharpton. He does not pass, by the way. And then Dave Williams, the party chair, is coming up about a big vote. You may have heard about it coming up on this Saturday. But first,
I'd like to introduce everybody to Mark Chilson. He's a businessman who deals in water and is a great Republican. And he's got an exciting announcement about the meeting tomorrow. In which we'll get a report about the fact that the lawsuit has been filed, but we need money, as you always do.
The lawsuit we're talking about is Dave Williams announced this week that this is something Chuck and the group of merry men and women have been working on for more than a couple of years to basically file a lawsuit saying that the law that was passed or the proposition that was passed in Colorado saying that Republicans had to have an open primary is unconstitutional and wrong on a number of levels. And John Eastman, Randy Corcoran filed a lawsuit this week. So we are suing Jenna Ellis and not Jenna Ellis. We won't sue her. Jenna Griswold. Now comes the fun part of that is paying for it.
Right.
That brings in Mark. Hey, Mark, welcome to the show and thank you for your time today.
Good afternoon. Pleasure to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
Sure.
Yeah, you bet. You bet. Mark's grandfather was a esteemed jurist, Hatfield Chilson, a federal district court judge, who was there when I clerked for Gene Breitenstein. So I got to meet him and enjoyed him. And he helped sponsor me for the Denver Country Club. So I have fond memories of his grandfather. Well, Mark, why don't you tell everybody about yourself?
I'd like to just mention first off that I am not one of these people that was necessarily involved in politics at all. I thought that if somebody else was going to take care of it. Surely there are adults in this society that are going to take care of politics for me so that I can just go out and try to make money. Well, I've found out to my chagrin that's just not actually going to work. And so that's been my political journey, one of unwillingly being dragged into this by the actions of our opponents. So just a general background on me. I'm a third generation Colorado native on my dad's side, a fifth generation Colorado native on my mom's side. So we've been around the state for a while and we have really witnessed the demise and the decline of our beloved state. And what's happened is not right, and we're not going to stand for it, and we're going to turn it around, by golly.
And you reached out to us. What's great about this is, you know, that so many people just sort of walk the walk, but or talk the talk, but you're walking the walk. I mean, so you reached out and you're like, hey, what can we do? Why don't you explain to us this is a wonderful gesture and everybody here is going to want to participate in this. So why don't you tell us what it is that you're offering to do
tomorrow?
Excellent. So I wanted to let everybody know that I am offering and am going to match my desire for the opt-out for us to no longer have our opponents choosing our elected officials. If you are of that opinion as well, that Democrats and unregistered Democrats, we'll call them, are picking our electors, picking our candidates for us, naturally they're going to choose the worst in the herd and the ones that are least motivating to the GOP base so that we have the lowest voter turnout among Republicans. And this is just one of the problems with it. It also violates the First and 14th Amendments as per the filing of Corcoran and Eastman. It's a good brief. You can go ahead and read it. You can find it online just with the appropriate search terms. So my offer is $15,000. I will match $15,000 of donations to the combination of those donations made to the Colorado GOP and to those donations made to the Claremont Institute. So together, $15,000. And if you will give me evidence of you having made that donation or just give me the indication in the form of an IOU that you will grant.
Well, what we hope to do is have your match tomorrow.
Yes, indeed. Tomorrow would be ideal.
And so you'll be there, and I'll make sure you make the stage to make this generous offer, and then you'll be on the side of the room, and anybody who wants to match it can match it. And I'd like to see
bring your checkbook.
Yeah, bring your checkbook and your pledging. And so I'd love to see for all these people, I support the lawsuit. Oh, give money? Give a dollar? No.
We couldn't do that.
Oh, no. That's unethical, isn't it? that's Stalinist. Stalinist. And so it's a generous offer, and it's going to be great, and it's going to rack that room tomorrow. And I promised Mark I'll get him upstage, and I'll make sure that's done on air when the chairman comes on after Mark.
Yeah, we're having Dave on right after you. Well, let's talk a little bit. So, yeah, folks can, if they're not going to be there tomorrow, you can go. I think the easiest way to do it is through the Claremont Institute. And I'm going to give you, if you don't get it, we can talk a bit. It's easy one. It's litigation.claremont.org. So litigation.claremont, claremont.org. And some people may have received a link from the Colorado Republican Party. You can do that too. And Mark, how would those people?
Well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to reserve the 15 for tomorrow.
Okay.
And if we don't get the whole 15, then we'll make another pitch on Monday.
Okay.
To get
Pretty
it.
Good.
So
that's well. So talk a little bit. I mean, you put it better than I've heard anyone in a long time calling them not unaffiliated voters. What they are, who are voting in the Republican primaries, they're unregistered Democrats. Many of whom, as we saw in the Lauren Boebert race, specifically go unaffiliated just to vote in the Republican primary. Now, you said you're not a political guy, and like you get this, right? I mean, what opened your eyes?
Well, if I'm willing to spend $5 for a beverage at Starbucks, if I'm willing to go and get my car repaired for $2,000, I mean, what these dollar amounts that we're talking about for our freedom, securing the freedom of our grandchildren, we're talking about minuscule money. This is how the venture capitalist Democrats are killing us.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Well, and, you know, and one of the things that Republicans and the Democrats count on Republicans being, talking the good game, but then not showing up with their money, because all of these things take money, right? I mean, we put in promissory notes and things like that because the lawyers need to prepare and do the work. Talk about, you know, you said you're fifth generation on your mom's side, third generation on your dad's side. And probably like a lot of people thought, you know, I'm doing my part. I'm living my life. I'm paying my taxes. I'm contributing. I'm raising my family. What was it that happened that made you say, holy cow, I got to start doing more?
Living in China for 3 years was a big indicator to me as to just how bad it can be. Mm. And that it really isn't our money. It's just in the process of becoming the Marxists' money. So
right,
long as
right.
you're a Marxist in your country that you tolerate, which we now do.
Yeah.
And so if you tolerate the Marxists, they will eventually come to power. And they will put a bullet in the back of every head of every substantial property owner. That's it. That is the rules of the game. Secondly, the thing that these venture capitalists, the big supporters of the socialist revolution, what they don't understand is that unless you already are on the inside planning who you're going to eliminate once you take power, then you're going to be one of those people who is eliminated as an unnecessary chattel liability. The communists will always actually physically kill those that help them to power because they don't want to owe any favors to those that help them to power. How people can read history and not read this and realize this is beyond me.
I love that saying that if you're not, don't have a seat at the dinner table, you're on the menu.
Oh, excellent. Well, that's even better said.
Well, and you know, we've seen that happen in Colorado. I mean, we used to live in Denver, right, you know, right near Cheeseman Park. And you can't, I was seeing today, you know, they wring their hands about what will we do about the homeless? And everyone's, you know, attacking the mayor for doing a homeless sweep. It's like, what, they had taken over this whole 2200 block of Stout Street. And it's like, and somehow that's bad that we're clearing those people out. And I'm like, I can tell you right now how you get rid of it. It's like, don't tolerate it, right? When you let people go there and you tolerate it, and then you're criticized if you're a business person, and then downtown is
a mess
anymore. And they all go, oh, I wonder what's going on here.
Why aren't people coming down anymore? anymore.
Yeah.
Huh. Just don't understand it.
The Communist Revolution wants those people on the street. The notion that they want to clean anything up is ridiculous. They are to be there as a class revolution statement.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, and you know, you sent me an email too. I mean, you have, what did you say that you were quoting, you know, the status quo is, you know, staying in the same mess or something like that, a Ronald Reagan quote?
Yeah, one of those great quotes by our hero, Ronald Reagan. The status quo is Latin for, quote, the mess we are in.
Yeah. Well, what would you, I mean, have you talked to other, I mean, how, are you, you were saying, you know, you haven't been particularly active in the Republican Party. Have you talked to other business owners? I mean, what do they talk about? And do you think there might be other people too who say, hey, you know what, one step towards getting this cleaned up is letting, going back to the system where Republicans elect Republican candidates?
I don't take a specific position on the camp, just so I'm clear on that,
right.
Because it's too complex for our discussion here. Going back, could you ask the question again, please?
Okay, well, with the lawsuit, I was just saying, have you had discussions with other, you know, your businessmen, right? Other businessmen?
2015, yes, thank you. 2015 was when I started to realize just how bad it was. 2016, I started getting involved with the GOP, and now I've gotten involved as precinct committee person, and now I'm co-captain of House District 6. Interestingly, House District 6 is the district in which both Capitol Hill and the Capitol itself reside. So it's an important House district, and many of the leaders of the Democrats come through HD6, interestingly. So although I was guilty of being politically apathetic in the past, I have gotten on board and have shouldered my load of the yoke get involved at the precinct level.
What's a co-captain? I mean, I know chairman. I know we have chair, co-chairs, vice chairs, secretaries. I've never heard of a captain.
Well, we have two of us in case there's one of us who's unavailable for a meeting or for an official capacity action. We then have a backup as a co-captain, and that's what I serve as. Elizabeth Tabato is the captain for House District 6, and I serve as her co-captain.
And it's kind of what I did too. I had not, I mean, Chuck, as you know, has been really politically involved. And I started doing it like with the show. And again, you just, you know, we have a 12-year-old, they have a 37-year-old, you have children, like you said, you want to leave them something. And so I too am a PCP. I mean, I didn't even know what it was, right?
Right.
And
still don't.
I have a vague sense now. I know that but basically I'm the one that's supposed to do all the work and there's no money involved.
That's more important.
You can't boss anyone around. But it's where it all starts. And I just can't applaud you enough. And not only you, but everybody who's done this too, who's looked around and said, okay, enough's enough. I'm going to get involved. But I really appreciate the fact that you're saying, and you know what? I'm going to put my money where my mouth is too. And nothing against George Brockler, but we had him on the show the other day and George was debating him and we won't get into the topic of the debate.
Chuck was debating him.
Chuck said to George, because George was talking about all he's done to support stuff, and Chuck's like, well, have you donated to the lawsuit? And he's like, well, no. It's like, well.
Well, what have you done? I mean, are you part of the litigation team? What have you, you know, what do you consider you're doing? Well, I mentioned it on the radio show. I go, woo-woo.
Okay.
Okie dokie.
Well, what do you think? You seem such a great to meet you this way. I mean, you seem cheerful. I mean, it's got to be tough being like a Republican in Denver. That's where Chuck was in Cheeseman Park, right? And he'd be like the only person at his meetings. So he got.
No, I wasn't the only person, but it was easy to get elected to the state assembly. I'll tell you that because there weren't too many people running.
But you seem optimistic.
Yes, indeed. It's actually a lot more fun to be on the outside trying to work your way up to the top spot again, because Republicans were establishment for so long. We had so many inherent advantages, which we've just whistled away. And those advantages exist no longer now that the corporations are woke, now that the capital markets are against us, and now that our opponents are paid political operatives.
Yes,
we now have the opportunity to be the unpaid, the volunteers, the real enthusiastic ones that the Democrats have been in the area of politics in the past. And they've had a great deal of fun with it. There's a lot more fun to be had when you're number two trying to get up to trying to than it is being establishment number one.
Well, when you talk to folks, I mean, so you're a precinct captain, so you obviously must talk to people there. Is Denver as hopeless as maybe it may seem, or are people starting to wake up, do you think?
No.
No.
Denver is supremely important because we have the vote count. We have so many constituents inside of Denver County that anything we can do to get to these people increases our vote count for statewide elections tremendously.
That's true.
Secondly, we have the nice attribute of having our constituents, of having our voters close together. You can do these neighborhood walk programs that give you the exact way to do two people along a block, and you can knock out a block in five, 10 minutes maybe. It's amazing how many voters we can reach in the state of Colorado because of this Denver denseness of our population. Yeah. You can't do that in so many of the Republican counties. It's just not possible. You have to hop in your car, etc. This is the great advantage of Denver County. It's why Denver County is so important. As long as we hit 23% of the statewide races being achieved, be Republican votes out of Denver County, we will win state elections.
You know, and that's something, Casper Stockham, who was a longtime candidate on things. I mean, one of the times he was running for CD1 in Denver. And that was something he said, too. He's like, you know, yeah, no, I'm not going to beat Diana DeGette. But he said, if we can turn out the percentage you were just talking about, he said, that's enough if everybody, all the other counties do their part to kind of put us over the line.
Well, but I can't tell you how hard it is to get 23%. I mean, I've watched good chairmen of Denver County just bang their head saying, I'm going to get above 20%, and they get 18, 17.
Remember, yeah, Jake Viano. So
Jake Viano.
If you can see in the comments, people love you. So Charlene, if you don't get the 15,000, you're going to have to match Charlene. She just donated her monthly church tithe to the Claremont website, saying the churches aren't doing anything worth my tithes. And then she says, Mark totally gets it. Mm-hmm. A Marxist takes over. Just check their playbook. So, and then if you guys are listening, Charlene posted the Claremont site there. It's litigation.claremont.org. Well, I think, you know, hopefully you will energize some of the people.
We're counting on him. You know, 15,000, he'll match it. That'll take us to 30. You know, that's 3/5 of the goal they did for the preliminary stuff. So we may just do all that Saturday.
I want people to bring their checkbooks because I'm going to bring mine. I want everybody to fulfill this subscription, write me the sufficient number of checks right then, and show me the checks that they've written. And then I will write that $15,000 check out, combination of 15,000 in two different checks. And I will write those out right there on the spot and send them out that day.
All right. There we go.
Well, Mark, thank you so much.
Great. We'll see you Saturday. Look forward to
it. Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor to be on your show.
All right, sir. Honored to be working with you. Thank you. All right. Mark Chilson there. What a great. I mean, he contacted me and I was like, what? And he's like, yeah, I'll match it. And then you guys have been talking. He goes, 15,000. I'm like, 15,000? It's like, that's amazing, guys.
Yeah.
And look at the energy there. I mean, hopefully. Tomorrow, and we'll have Dave on here. And actually, Thomas, if you want to go ahead and call Dave too, because does Dave even know about this?
No.
Oh, I was surprised, Dave.
No.
But I think you're right. Get him on the stage.
Then he doesn't know he's got a new person. He's got to get it on stage.
He may take it out of your time.
No.
I mean,
I'm Stalin.
That's what
you can't take Stalin's time.
Right. Hopefully there'll be time to get somebody on the stage who's not just talking, but who's actively not only contributing money, he's helping raise money. I mean, that's astonishing, right? Just out of the blue, this person who's not, like a giant politico, he's not a consultant, he's a businessman who doesn't like what's happening in Colorado. So yay, and yay for you, Charlene, too.
Yeah.
We have donated again. And I think, you know, the lawsuit is huge, right? I mean, and we'll be talking
all of it is huge. All of it works together. And, you know, some people say, well, I'm not for this. They all work together. If you're not for the opt-out, you're not for the lawsuit. And you don't fool anybody you're saying you're for the lawsuit. If you're not for the opt-out, and if you're not for the Bonneville Amendment, you're not for the opt-out. And if you're not for the opt-out, you're not for the litigation.
And we have Dave Williams with us here. Hey, the chairperson of the Colorado Republican Party. Hey, Dave, happy Party Friday.
Hey. How you doing, Chuck, Julie?
Good. I'm not sure if you've been listening, but we just had Mark Chilson, the grandson of Hatfield Chilson, who was a great federal judge, on, and he's coming down, and we got to get him a space with John Case. He's bringing his checkbook
to the meeting tomorrow.
Tomorrow, and he'll be on the side of the room, and he'll match anybody who contributes that day
to the lawsuit.
He'll match it up to $15,000. So you got to get him on stage with John Case, and he'll be on the side of the room and say, you know, you come over, show the check to Claremont, and off and running. So we can get him on stage. Can't wait for a $15,000 match.
You bet. Anyone that wants to write the party a check for this effort will get on the stage. I guess.
Okay, Mark, you just heard it from the chair.
I mean, I was telling Mark, because what happened is he had reached out to us, and he's like, Julie, I listened to your show. I hate what's happening to the state. He hasn't been, he's a PCP, right? He's just getting involved in politics. And he said, I will match. And every time he and Chuck talk, so maybe they can talk more, they raise it a little bit. I will tell you that. He's like, I will match up to $15,000. Anybody who, Saturday, who contributes to the lawsuit fund. And he said, and if you don't get it, which hopefully you will, but he said, Dave, he's like, I will write the checks right then and there, right there. He says, I'll hand them to you guys. I mean, that's great news. You don't really see that happening that much enough, do you?
No, not enough. I assure you that.
All right. Well, let's talk a little bit then about the meeting tomorrow. So we know we'll have Mark on there. We know we'll have Chuck on there. Leo was saying, Chairman, I yield my time to Mr. Stalin. And you talk about the meeting tomorrow and how important it is.
Yeah, this is a very, very important meeting for two reasons. One, you know, and this has kind of gotten lost in the mix a little bit, but we are actually electing someone to become our new vice chair. We have a vacancy with Priscilla Ron, and we have four candidates now that are running to replace her. And that's the very first thing that we're going to get to after we get past our rules and credentials and all that. And then the second important thing that we're doing is we're passing bylaws. Probably the most, entertaining bylaw is, of course, the appropriately named Bonnie Low Amendment. That's number seven. And we're going to really, get into why it's necessary. If people want to opt out, then it's absolutely necessary that they support this amendment.
Okay.
Well, and hilariously, your opponent to the last time running for chair says it's the most unethical, amoral, everything else. And you kind of go, that's interesting. So the Democrats force you to 75% threshold, and every no-show is a no. And if you pass it, you have to keep on passing it every 2 years or automatically ratchet back to the open primary. But that's morally good, but if you say no, if you don't come, it's considered a yes vote.
Somehow that's unethical, yeah. And Stalinistic.
And this is what I love about this the best. We've had a long time a need for a reckoning, a need for people to know. Somebody said I have a nice haircut.
Chuck's distracted by compliments.
Anytime you want your thing read from the chat section, just make it a compliment.
But yeah, I think the Bonnie Bell Amendment, what it did is it sort of took the mask off of people, I think, inadvertently.
Yeah, and it has. Who's come out against it? Dick Wadhams? Gee, that's amazing. John Caldera, Mr. Independence Institute. Gee, that's amazing.
He's not even a Republican.
And so it really has, the people are going to have to stand up, and I think we're going to take pictures of who's for it and who's against it, because it's either really a hidden Democrat pretending to be a Republican, or you're a real America First principled Republican. And that's how it's going to divide down. It is not going to be. And so typical of Eric Odlin, morally perfect. That is this.
Let Dan answer the question. You're going on a rant.
No, I'm not. Well, that's what I do. I'm Stalin. That's what Stalin did. He could do it for hours.
Would you say, though, that this, I don't think that was, no, I know that wasn't Chuck's intention. His intention was try to boost the lawsuit. But would you agree that this does seem to have exposed people, and that's why they're so freaking out, who otherwise would like to hide? Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a fair characterization to say that if you don't support the Bonnie Will Amendment, then you don't support the opt-out, because they go hand in hand, and by extension, even the lawsuit, because they intellectually go hand in hand. If you just follow logic, A, then B, then C, then you want to be for this. And I do think it's intellectually inconsistent for anyone to say, it's immoral to do it this way, but then not have a problem with the state imposing a default no on those who fail to submit their ballot. We don't get neutrality. We don't get to count abstentions. We have to pick yes or no. And it doesn't make any sense for the state to impose upon us how we choose how to govern ourselves. I think it makes more sense that the party do that for themselves.
Well, and I want to talk about this in a little bit because Dave, I want you to know we've had some people here on the chat section are talking about, they're donating to the lawsuit. I mean, Mark really fired people up and they're donating to the party. And, there's been a lot of talk. The party obviously could use money. So this came out. We got this in the mail. I'm sure you've seen this. This is Dave Williams.
They can't see it.
Dave Williams, Shady New Rules, blah, blah, blah. Then this picture, Dave Williams sneaking in Shady New Rules while you're not looking, right? Obviously going against what you guys are trying to accomplish tomorrow. And this is not my work. I'll give credit to Aaron Wood. The address on this flyer is 9878 West Bellevue Avenue, Suite 2508, which according to Aaron Wood, is the address, but it is, I looked it up. It's a post office box basically. And it's the address of something called Wright Colorado. Well, Wright Colorado apparently is a 501c3 nonprofit with the Hudson firm, and Castle Rock is a registered agent. Roger Hudson is a senior media strategist and principal of the Hudson firm. He's a Castle Pine City Council member, by the way, who you guys recently censured for joining in that horrific support of the transgender activist in a whole other state. I mean, so that I don't know what something like this would cost, Dave, but this would probably cost a few $1,000, right, to mail this out. So they can spend their money this way, right? But they sure as heck don't want to
anonymous hit piece.
And they sure don't want to help the Republican
because
party.
They're moral. And you are not, Dave. Yeah. You're shady and honest.
Yeah, no, it will be. When Roger Hudson's done holding a grudge, maybe he can spend his money against Democrats. But what I would say is that what I like about this debate is that it is bringing people out who I think have traditionally hid, and just kind of hoped that they didn't have to make a decision on a way forward for a party, a way to get out of the open primary. I mean, here's the thing. I don't mind criticism. I don't mind others that, want to critique what we're doing. But give me a solution. What's your alternative? We have lost three successive elections through the open primary process, and it's getting worse and worse and worse. I mean, what is your solution? I don't understand.
Same.
You can criticize.
More the same. Well, keep on getting lower and lower Republican registrations, less and less success. They're happy. What people don't understand, but it's easiest to understand, is at the national level. When Mitch McConnell withdrew all his support from Arizona and other places and poured it all into an independent in Murkowski, he didn't want to take the Republican Party back to the lead, the Senate. He wanted just to make sure that he remained the head of a minority. And that's what this is. I mean, that's what Phil Antunes wants to do. He just wants to be the head of a minority party.
Well, all I can say is that I have faith in our central committee. I really do. And ultimately, the message that people need to understand is we can't keep doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. We've done this three times. Three times we did this experiment with open primaries, and we've gotten our asses kicked.
Worst time. The last one.
Worst.
Worst. John Caldera. And Dick Wadhams last time said, we are just on the verge of an amazing victory, and they want to do the opt-out. If we do the opt-out, we're so close. And so they don't do the opt-out. Yeah, they hit their head handed to them, and they kind of go, well, that shows you we got to do more. Yeah, it was Trump. Of course it was Trump.
I think the great news about all this is that their track record for making predictions are terrible. So. I think people should take confidence in that if they're saying this is such a bad idea, it's probably going to be the best idea you've ever experienced.
And here's the thing too. The other day I was joking with Ted Trimpa. So Ted Trimpa came out and was tweeting that this whole opt-out lawsuit, it's a disaster, it's suicide, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, that's all we need to know. Ted Trimpa, the blueprint to destroy the Republican Party.
Is against the opt-out.
He doesn't want us opting out. So
Ted Trimpa doesn't want us to do it, we should really take note.
Maybe we should do that and have you come say, well, the other thing I think that is encouraging is that, you know, as you said, it's, we've been through this three times. So we're starting to see a little bit of actual data and information. And data, Jeff has done a good job, along with Anil Mathai, of putting out graphs and charts and things that sort of show, okay, so they say, oh, we need to get the unaffiliated voters. So they show the percentage of unaffiliated voters, who I think are actually just Democrats, many of them, as we saw in Lauren Boebert's district. So they register and they vote in the Republican primary, but then they do not turn around and vote Republican in the general.
There are much more votes of unaffiliated. This last election in the primary, they took all these unaffiliated took Republican ballots, except when it came to the election, they all voted for Democrats, not all of them. But you know, so the idea that, hey, unless we give them a chance to screw our candidates, they won't. I mean, how can they stand themselves? How do they go to sleep at night?
Well, we don't want to. I don't want to put Dave there, but Dave.
Yeah, why not?
What is your sense? And we'll let you go because I know you've got a meeting tomorrow. But it seems to me that people have woken up and people are getting it and people are realizing, even if it's just as basic as what you said, we are getting our butts hand kicked and so we have to do something different. I mean, is that your sense too, that more and more people are waking up about this?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I don't know how many times we have to put our hand on a hot stove and figure out that we shouldn't do that. This is what's been happening with open primaries. Again, all the more establishment members of our party, you know, heralded the open primary. They said it would be a boon to us, and they kept saying this over and over again, but the results don't add up. I just don't know what else we need to do. The proof is there. We've seen it.
They don't care
time.
About the proof. They don't want Republicans to win.
I know that we're onto their game, right? They're obviously right. Have an agenda and they're not being truthful with us, but the people I think are starting to see this. They're starting to wake up and say, hey, wait a minute. We can't keep doing this. And rightfully so. I mean, look at our legislature. It's a super minority status for us. There, you have all statewide offices occupied by Democrats. I don't know what other sign we need to, hey, you know, reverse course, go back to something that we knew was working for us, and that's when Republicans are using our nominee.
Well, and it also seems to me, an argument is you sure couldn't do worse, right? I mean,
that should be a part of the conversation. What do we got to lose? We were already devastated under the prior leadership, but we suffered historic losses each time, right? 2018 was a historic loss. 2020 was an even more historic loss. And now we just suffered the greatest historical loss that we've ever seen in our party's history through Colorado. What do we got to lose here, guys?
At least we're setting records, Dave.
I guess.
All right. Well, let me just a final question. We can let you go. Anything else that's going to be going on tomorrow? It's a state central committee meeting that you
to have a very good treasurer's report, I understand.
Yeah, we're gonna start to, you know, peel back the onion here and show everyone what we've been able to uncover. There's been a lot of folks that want to take cheap shots at the party and myself. But now that we're meeting with our members, we're going to tell them exactly what we've discovered, and you know, that should at least inform people on why we're at where we're at. So, you know, my motto is, and it's in scripture, but it's true, the truth will set you free, and we're about to uncover the truth.
All right.
It should be pretty.
That should be fun.
Fun meeting. Probably have a little bit more media coverage than usual. So
No, you won't. Are you kidding me? If you expose them, what they are.
Well, that's true. Dave, thank you for your time. Good luck tomorrow, and thank you for allowing Mark Chilson to go on there and help the Republicans raise some money. What a great idea for a change, huh?
You bet. Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, guys.
All right. Thank you. And this from Sandra. Hang in there, Dave. You have many people supporting you. This is from Charlene. Charlene is always coming up with branding ideas. A new name for the creatures, Rindids, Republican in name, Democrats indeed. I think Barney must have said something funny because people are laughing with Barney. What I don't see it, Barney. But okay. So the rest of the show, we can kind of open it up. I see. Does somebody have their camera on and do they want to talk, or is that?
I think it's Mark.
Okay. Well, all right. If anybody wants to weigh in, go ahead and, okay. Do you want to talk? Oh, Jacob. Jacob, did you want to say something? Oh, Jacob, you keep an eye on Denver for us. Anything going on that you wanted to say or not really?
No, I just, what's Dick Wadham's position in the Republican Party?
He's former party chair. He was party chair for 6-8 years.
Okay. Well, can't they have a vote to have him escorted out of the meetings?
No.
Yes. It's a good point. I mean, we had a resolution condemning people like Roger Hudson. What we got to do now is do that. We formally request Dick Wadham, please join the No Labels or the Socialists or whoever you like, but please just go away.
Go away. Yeah, because he was on Channel 4 the other night with Sean Boyd, and I knew she was going to bring him on. I mean, she won't bring on – I mean, Dave Williams, they just introduced Dave Williams, but they didn't say anything, you know, other than he's filing the lawsuit. I mean, just get rid of Dick Wadhams. You know, he's a has-been. Just tell him.
At least somehow every time he speaks, say Dick Wadhams does not speak for the Republican Party. Well, you know what cracks me up about it, Jacob, is it is called the Bonnywell Amendment. None of those people, except for Ernest, right? Nobody has reached out to Chuck. It's like, why is there? I mean, I'm happy to be attacked some more.
Yeah, I love being attacked.
Do it because they know Chuck will point out the truth and be accurate. And you know, all they want to do is put on Dick Wadhams saying how awful it is. You know, and don't you think they're screaming so loud? I mean, they're spending money sending out cheesy flyers. They must be totally freaking out about losing their power and the grassroots actually making some common sense changes that'll help Republicans win again.
Well, that's where that other lady came on the other day where she was talking about how they went door to door after the election to find out that people weren't voting because they didn't think their vote counted. This is a good time for her to go back and start re-registering these people. Getting them. Because now you've got voter. You'll have people that vote that will be heard. And I guess they can vote on the Bonnywell Amendment, or at least I think there's a statewide amendment this year, right? HH?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So, you know, people don't realize you're going to lose your Tabor for a lousy 3% return.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Nope, exactly. Yep. Exactly. Hey, Jacob, thank you.
Thank you,
bye.
Jacob. And we see Ben up here who wants to report on his email on the Bonnywell Amendment. Ben, put yourself on. How's that email coming?
It went out.
It went out. What time did it go out?
Well, I think Steve was sending it out for me. You know, it was just a reply to our bylaws chair.
But did Steve send it out?
Yes, that's
you're
what
sure?
I understand. And check your email. You're the guy that you never check your email. It's your minion who checks your email.
Yeah, really. So did you hear Mark Chilson's wonderful matching up to $15,000 now?
I did. And, you know, kudos to Mark. I'm glad that people that are in his deep into the pool here are actually stepping up and realizing that we need them and they need us. And I can't tell you how thrilled I am to see Mark do that. That is we need more of Mark's. And you know, we have Brenda as well.
Right.
Yes.
There is a group of people that are financially well set that are now paying attention. It's just not, you know, they have not, this group is growing. And they've decided not to surrender the Colorado politics, the GOP, only to Anschutz, Phil Anschutz, and his whims. So people are starting to stand up. When you have Mark that Matt is matching $15,000, and then there's another gentleman, I believe, up in the northern part of the state in the Fort Collins, Larimer County area, that is also matching, I believe it was either $5,000 or $10,000.
Wow.
People are now starting to recognize.
Okay. Yeah.
So these things are coming. These things are coming around. So this is important. Thank you, Mark. That's
right.
What I got to say.
Well,
and is this is the Stalinist? Is this Chuck? Is the Stalinist? Is that correct? Is that,
yes.
I think
I'm
heard that on Wednesday.
I forget what Stalin's real name was. Probably Chuck Bonnywell.
Joseph Stalin.
No. He's like Igor Gorokowicz. It's a very Slavic name.
Yeah. I think wasn't he from he's from Georgia? I thought.
Yes.
Anyway, he was. I listened to your debate with George Brockler talking about a Stalinist here. I mean, isn't a Stalinist somebody that would be willing to back the red flag law and strip you of your Second Amendment rights without any evidence, just because you have a whacked out girlfriend or ex-girlfriend that has now declared that you're crazy? That is a Stalinist. That's who he is. He would never be a signator to the Declaration of Independence if this was 200.
That brings up a really good point. Hold on to that. Julie, you got to bring it up now.
Oh, okay. Ben, hold your thought, because you're going to hang on, because I want you to listen to this and then come back. Yeah, this is, speaking of this, for all the historians out there, and even I knew this, Al Sharpton the other day was talking about how awful Donald Trump is and why he deserves to be indicted and sent to prison. And then he offered this snazzy, I guess, comparison. If we could please, Thomas, play the Al Sharpton soundbite.
One day our children's children will read American history. And can you imagine our reading that James Madison or Thomas Jefferson tried to overthrow the government so they could stay in power? That's what we're looking at. We're looking at American history.
Can you imagine?
I can't wait to read that history book when I get to Tawana Briley, is it? Get to that section. Tawana? Yeah. Uh-huh. I tell you what, these guys are crazy.
And dumb. That's a good part.
Yes.
Yeah, did say that, yes. And I said, you need to, with George Brockler, because, I mean, I've known George a long time, and he's a good man, but there's a time when we're like, well, I mean, can you imagine if Thomas Jefferson said, well, guys, we better pay that tea tax?
Yeah, the tea tax, we're required to pay the tea tax.
Yeah. I don't understand why you guys are upset, because we have been billeting, feeding, and allowing the British troops to sleep in our homes at whim. Yeah. I just don't get it. Why don't we continue to do
now
that?
Now we have to do it for Department of Justice lawyers. I mean,
yeah. This is the insanity, and this is what I'm thinking. Why I was listening, to your debate with Brockler, and I'm thinking, I listened to the debate that he had again 2 years ago, and it was with Randy Corcoran at the time.
Right.
He is simply willing to, for just surrender all constitutional rights here, in my opinion. So I just don't know where he's coming from. And when you challenge him on whether or not he has donated any funds to this effort, right now I want you to just get him on the line, let him know that Mark is setting out there to match any contribution that he may have. Let's see. This is all about stepping up. Those of us, you included, Chuck, we went around the state 2 years ago, and 6.5 years ago, it was Anil and I that put forth that motion to sue the state. And it's taken this long finally to get to this point that we are now doing so. The grassroots it's slow, but it's starting to gain momentum. You have constitutional rights. Damn it. Don't you ever surrender them.
Mm-hmm. All right, Ben, thank you for coming on. Yeah. And thank you for all the work that you've been
doing. Thanks for that email.
And continue.
Yeah, you rat.
It's an inside
just
beat.
For your listeners to know, I was forced into that.
So. All right.
We'll see you guys later.
No, thank you. Charlene is saying it's okay, thank you, Charlene. Rindin, not Rindin. Rindin. Let's see. We passed a resolution of no recommendation to Arkansas for Asa Hutchinson. We should do the same thing for Dick Wadhams and George Brockler. From Leo, I think the matching thing is good, making people get off their ass. It's only, and for also, it's only an insurrection if you lose. And that's true. And from Barney, at least Billy didn't pop out of Bill, I can't say that, Barney. He had money on that. And then from Charlene, Brockler is not who I thought. Watch what they do. Watch what they don't do when they could do something. And then Leo says, that's even the SS knocks on my door. Mm-hmm. Well, and all you guys, and this is, I think, what is so encouraging to see. And I think this is what, like I said, when you introduce the Bonnie Mill Amendment, your whole plan was to try to boost the lawsuit. And, yes. Right, because as Dave
very modest out, little goals, not to upset the whole world. It's a modest proposal.
It did. Is it pointed out the difference between the people who are willing and are now stepping up and the people who just want to talk about things, right?
No, they actually don't. They like being controlled by the Democrats. I mean, it's a little of the Stockholm syndrome. We enjoy being indentured servants to the Democrats, and we certainly shouldn't do anything to upset the apple cart.
No, like Thomas Jefferson, what would we think if he tried to overthrow the government?
And Madison, I mean.
Well, again, though, that's maybe the Democrat history book.
They're going to be accusing him of writing the Declaration of Independence or something. I mean,
they need to get rid of the whole concept that insurrection can be good, right? We need to forget that we did not have anything to do with insurrection. The British just handed it over.
Our children's children will be reading about this in our own little history books, which are
Well, yeah, exactly. But it, you know, it does go at a time, you know, on this Party Friday. I hate to bring up a downer thing, but you look at the yet another indictment of Trump, right? And, you know, as people, even Alex Berenson, that liberal writer, he says what people don't get is the people, we are, you know, he said, if you mess with the bull, you get the horns. And he said, what a lot of the Democrats don't realize, and I think a lot of people in our own party don't realize, is the people are the bull. Trump is the horn, but the people are the bull. And so you're not going to get rid of us. And, you know, so I think that's why they feel so exposed, because they've been exposed for exactly what they are. And the time is long past when people are willing to, you know, you need to step up. It's like, if not now, I mean, that's why it's so great with Mark.
This one, Bonnie Old Man, it has a nice ring to it, kind of like Shawshank Redemption.
And then Leo was saying, Barney, I know you and Charlene have my six in case they come knocking at your door. But again, you know, you're exposing them. They don't have to give money. They actually just have to vote, right?
Oh, yeah.
They just have to vote. And in so doing, let people know where they come from. They would way rather, these establishment characters would way rather hide. They'd way rather try to get your money. Or if you aren't going to give it, there are enough Democrats anymore who will give them money to run campaigns and things. Right. So they're happy. Rather than actually save the state, because you look at, if this isn't successful, you know, like Dave said, we've lost historically for the last three times. I don't know,
by greater margin.
Look what's happening to the city of Denver, where you have dozens, and they've removed dozens of homeless people living on the street, and it become rodent infested. This is downtown Denver, 22nd.
Oh, plague territory.
Yeah, 22nd and Stout, right? And you, I mean, and I don't know if you guys have been down there, but it's different, and it's hurting the whole city. There's not going to be anything left to save if we don't act pretty quickly, I think, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I agree.
At least we get some more comments in here, too. Oh, Charlene, they're talking about, Barney is saying, I know, or Leo is saying, Barney, I know you and Charlene have my back. And then Barney says, yeah, Charlene first. And then Charlene says, I think I can outrun you, Barney. Oh, wow. That reminds me of a quick story. I'm digressing here. On this Party Friday, years ago, when I was a TV reporter, we were doing an interview with an inmate in jail. He was in jail. And normally what normally what they do is they would take you into a room, right? And there'd be a guard there. In this particular instance, they walk us down this long hall. They open a door, and it's essentially like it's like a little cell. It's the size of a cell, but with a table there. And they're like, okay, well, you guys are going to be in here, and then we're going to lock the door, and we'll bring the inmate in.
And he was a mass murderer, right?
He was a serial killer. And we're going to bring him in. And they're like, and then we'll lock the door again, and we'll lock all you guys in here. And if there's any problems, you push that red button there, and then we'll come running to see what's going on. And so we look at that. The photographer looks at me, and he goes,
out of there.
No, he goes, just so you know, if anything happens, I'm going to say, take the white girl. thank you. And we watched the guard walk down the long way. It all turned out well. We were all safe, and no one.
That's a great
story. No one was there, but I know how you feel, Leo. I know how you feel. Hey guys, that's going to actually wrap it up for this Party Friday for us. On Monday, obviously, we'll have the report on the big vote.
Yep, we will.
Mark, again, thank you for what you're doing. We'll let you know how all of that goes as well. Thank you to Dave, Thomas, all of you guys on Zoom. Remember, you can catch all of our shows at chuckandjulie.com. And that'll be it. Everybody, we're off to Party Friday.
Party Friday.
Have a great weekend, everyone.
Bye-bye.